Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Game 7 is in the books. How did Milwaukee look? What's next for Bud's team? It's time for Milwaukee's basketball postgame show with Tim Allen on 1250 AM, The Fan.
It is a final, and Game 7 goes the Bucks' way. Welcome in, everybody. It is a special edition of Milwaukee's basketball postgame show. Yeah, not just me, Tim Allen. There's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And just jubilation here as the Bucks head to the Eastern Conference Finals again for the second time in the past three seasons. It took overtime, but 113-111 as they get it done. And, man, we have to sort this out. Sit down, Big Three. All of you three, sit down because your season's over. And the Bucks advance. That opponent will be determined tomorrow. But this is a celebration here to get to the next level. And who thought this? I thought this game was, Stevie, I thought this game was lost about 58,000 times in this one.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you look at that first half of this Bucks team, they looked like they had no idea how to play in a Game 7. They looked like they were scared, nervous, whatever you want to call it. Hitting the side of backboard, shooting air balls. They looked horrible, but yet they were still right there. They probably could have been down 15 or 20, yep. But they were still right there at the end of it, and that was simply amazing. And this game, again, a big, big win. For the Milwaukee Bucks. Big win for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Huge, huge win for the Bucks organization, really.
And apparently it's not over.
Apparently it's not over.
0.3 left, and Brook Lopez is now at the line shooting free throws. And he made the first one, so now it's 114-111.
Now just miss it on purpose,
with
and you're good.
0.3 left. You would hope. This is the same Brook Lopez that didn't know how much shot was on the shot clock.
Did Mark Davis try and extend this game a little bit? Yeah, I think
he made the next one, 115-111. And now they'll inbound, and that's the end of the game. Now it's official. 115-111.
115-111
is the official final.
414-799-1250. And all of us that just wanted to slow the roll here just a little bit on the fire coach Bud bandwagon here, that's okay, and I get that. But let's just hold off and see how this thing turns out. Because I'll tell you, this game here tonight, it going into this game, I was thinking about this earlier today. If you win this game, you feel pretty good about Atlanta or Philly. I'm just saying. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that they're going to win the Eastern Conference Finals here. I'm just saying that you feel one hell of a lot better facing either one of those teams than you did heading into this Brooklyn series.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, said that whoever wins this series is probably going to be the NBA champ. And I'll be honest, I still feel the same way. I don't think it's any different. I still think... You know, you beat the Nets. I don't think there's anybody in the West that presents a problem necessary for the Bucks, where you look at this series and go, yeah, they can't win that one. I don't think there's Atlanta or Philly where you look at that and go, yeah, they can't beat them. This Nets team was the one team, and then maybe the Lakers because of LeBron and Anthony Davis, where you look at it and go, okay, well, this could be a problem. But that hasn't that's not going to be the case with anybody left. Going forward, I think you look at this Bucks team and go, they're going to be the most talented team left in the playoffs. And now they just have to execute. And Drew Holiday, please do not play that bad again. Please, I beg you, do not play that bad again. Because the fact that you were able to overcome Drew Holiday playing as horrible as he did, and you not shooting threes all that great either, was simply remarkable that you were able to still win that basketball game.
It's just incredible the way they started both Middleton and Holiday, and you thought, wow, this one could get away, as you said. I mean, they were down 10 in this game. They were down 6 at the half, but just battled, found a way to stay in there. And I will say this, that you say they're looking good for the NBA Finals. Okay, I might agree with you that they're the most talented. But the other thing to look at, especially compared to Brooklyn, and I haven't looked at the other teams, maybe they're the most healthy team.
Well, that too.
That's still alive.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, again, Chris Paul, for instance, you know, he's in COVID protocol. By the time you get to the NBA Finals, he'll be ready to go if Phoenix obviously gets to that point. And then Philly, they're all beat up and hurt. I mean, Embiid can't stay healthy. He's got that meniscus issue that he has going on. And then you look at Atlanta. Now, Atlanta, if it's the Hawks, that means you get home court advantage now starting on Wednesday if the Hawks are able to beat Philly in their final game of that series tomorrow, which, again, would be a big advantage for the Bucks to have a Game 7 in Milwaukee if you need a Game 7 in Milwaukee against Atlanta. But then it's Bogdanović and that whole Bogdanović trade that never happened. That becomes a storyline in that series and how Bogdanović plays against the Bucks. Trae Young, Drew Holiday's going to have to do a good job against him. So there'll definitely be storylines, but the Bucks will be favored in any series they're in the rest of the way now to win this thing.
Yeah, and it looks like they're in a little bit of a rest mode here because they were – Giannis is sucking wind out there. I mean, it appeared to me. Now, KD missed at the end of regulation, actually made it to tie it, but they were this close from losing on a buzzer beater three in Game 7 of the semis.
Yes.
This
toes
close,
on the line.
I mean, that is going to be pictured everywhere, is the toes on the line, because I didn't feel good at that point. With KD with the ball in his hands, but I mean he made the shot, and then the Bucks can't get a bucket. Although you credit their defense in overtime because nobody really wanted to score an OT,
right?
So we want to get your reaction here. 414-799-1250. We'll keep our eyes on the Brewers as well. But the big story, the lead story here in the state of Wisconsin, here in the city of Milwaukee. Bucks are headed back to the Eastern Conference Finals here as they get a 115-111 overtime victory over the Brooklyn Nets. They're down 2-0 in the series. Come on, right back and even things up. Then they trade a couple of games right there and it set up the Game 7. You know, you hate to go into Game 7 saying, well, get to Game 7, anybody can beat anybody. Because the health part of this told me that they were probably going to be in this game. You never knew.
Right, because of the Harden minutes and his hamstring, and Durant's played a ton of minutes as well, and they both played over 50 minutes tonight too.
But I will say this, that I'm glad that those types of Jordan rule calls are not going to be prevalent here moving forward. That part of me in this series I was a little miffed at this because it's clear to me that Giannis plays a little bit more physical, and that kind of distorts what these referees see a little bit. It does. And he just does not get the calls that other stars get, and that's fact. And we saw it here again in Game 7. So what? Okay, turn the page. Now maybe he's the biggest star on the court here moving forward, and he will start getting those phantom calls.
Probably not, but... I it's comparable to a guy that was a center in Shaquille O'Neal, I guess, to a certain degree, where Shaq would get hacked constantly and they would never call fouls one way or the other because of, like you said, the physical style in which he plays. But to be honest with you, I mean, I don't really want Giannis at the line. I mean, I understand as part of it, you want to get the fouls, you want to set him to the line. I mean, shoots that air ball there late in the game too. during that whole process. So I don't know if I really want him at the line as much as, say, a James Harden gets the line in a game. Harden hits his shots. Giannis doesn't. So, yes, you want the respect. Yes, you want him to be treated like a multiple MVP winner. And you want him to be treated like a guy that's about to win an NBA championship, possibly. Yeah, you want all of that for sure. I'm just saying, big picture-wise, do we really want him at the line 15, 20 times in a game? I don't know.
They may have gotten away with the victory without overtime. There was a little over 2 seconds left on the shot clock, a little over 7 seconds left on the game clock, and Bucks ball, and they don't even get a shot off right there. And that was just before KD hitting the two to tie the game at the end of regulation. That, to me, was the low point in this ball game. You don't even get a shot right there. You design a play right there to get a shot, and you make the bucket, you win in regulation. I did not feel good after that situation. You knew KD was going to come down with the ball in his hands. He was going to throw up anything. Close your eyes.
Right.
It was almost like a Curry situation of a few years ago. He could have just shut his eyes and just threw it near the basket. It was going to go in. And that's what ended up happening. But just by, you know, a fraction of an inch or maybe a half inch or so, toes on the line, save the Bucks in regulation, and they go on in overtime for a four-point victory, 115-111. We'll check out some of the numbers in this one. Want to get your reaction here as the Bucks move on. And how do you feel now in this next series? It's the Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to be Atlanta or Philadelphia, as Sparky just said there. Philly kind of beat up, and you know, you feel good about that. Atlanta, maybe a little bit of an upstart. I think they're surprising some folks with a 3-3, a game seven coming up in that series. But how do you feel now, not only in the Eastern Conference, but moving all the way into and possibly a victory in the NBA Finals here? They're still alive, and we're talking about it here at 12:50
right.
a.m. The Fan.
Dial it up, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Jameson and Shoreward, you're first up. Milwaukee's basketball postgame show with Tim Allen and me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
What an incredible night. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this for a long time, and it feels really, really good to be one of the people who had faith. I'm not one of the naysayers. I knew we could get this done. It was a little bit more difficult. I should say it was a lot more difficult than I thought it was. I really thought Harden and Durant were going to be gassed, but apparently not doing a lot of load management. I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, Giannis was really gassed at the end. And moving forward, I'm hoping we are in shape, but we're in really good shape moving forward. We are definitely one of the healthier teams still left in the playoffs. And Tim's there, right?
Yeah, Tim's here. Yep.
Yeah.
Tim, I gotta tell you, I finally broke through in the daily. I don't care if I have to split it with 40 other people. I finally finished first. Thank you very much, Pat Connaughton and Mr. Lopez, doing well and moving forward. I think we have this. This should be our championship. We're the healthiest team. We're playing well. We need Holiday to step up a little bit going forward.
A little bit?
Man,
you need a hell of a lot more out of Drew Holiday than what you got tonight. He came up big there late in the fourth, but to that point, he killed you.
Till that point, I even put on my Facebook, it said something like, didn't we trade Eric Bledsoe last year?
Everybody was killing him online. Yeah, everybody.
But he really stepped up. Without him, we wouldn't be here. Middleton stepped up because he didn't have that good of a first half either.
Jameson, thanks for the call. I got to get some of these other calls. And you said it to me, you know, as we were watching the game. At one point, Tim goes, to be honest, the only person I trust right now is Chris Middleton with the ball.
Yeah, and that was it, because you felt pretty good. You know what? We have to start giving Middleton a little more credit than he's been getting. Now, I know he's been a lightning rod. Is he a member of the big three? Is he even a three? Is he a two? What is he? After a start like that, to have the recovery, him and Holiday to start out, there was something like a 4-for-22 from the field. And it just wasn't working, but I think we do have to give Middleton some credit, and Holiday to at least bounce back to hit the two buckets late. You give him that a little bit, PJ Tucker, yeah, that's what he's there for. Play some defense. He did foul out late. You wondered if that was gonna sting him a little bit, but they got it done tonight, guys. They're into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, in big stuff. And I never in my life thought I'd ever say thank God for Pat Connaughton, but thank God for Pat Connaughton.
Here's Connaughton, catch and shoot for three. Pat Connaughton nails it.
And that was a big shot right there. Offense, last few possessions for the Bucks, unable to score, but Connaughton not afraid. Great pass ahead by Holiday.
I mean, Connaughton, again, that highlight courtesy of TNT, that Connaughton, 3 of 5 from three in that game,
yep.
And seemingly was hitting big shots when they needed him to stop net runs, ended up with 9 points and 4 boards. Patsy was big in that game.
I mean, this is exactly, really, all of us that were like, okay, what are we going to do here? It's game seven. How are we going to feel? Is it revamp? I said it the other day on the air that this is a very critical time in this Bucs organization.
For sure.
It is. It's a tipping point when you look at a scale of, you know, a 5-7 year window before and after. We're right in the middle of that. So which way does it go? Stay of execution for Bud. Some people will think that. But let's just see how this plays out. They got it to game seven. This was an awesome series, guys. It was. And when you look at the Bucs defense, in the number of games that they held the Nets in this series, under 100 was huge. It was huge. And now you can just sort of, I don't know if the Bucs style is to play with a little swagger here, but it does allow them to maybe get to that point for sure.
All right, let's go to Mike on the South Side. You're next on 1250 AM, The Fan, with Tim Allen and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Hey, guys. You know, I called all week. I had Brooklyn. I'm a Bucks fan. So they beat the big 1.5, Harden and Durant.
Yep.
Now, where do you go off, 49? Went to game seven?
Well, look, I mean, Kevin Durant, that was a, according to Malika Andrews, that was the highest point total by any player in a game seven, with 48 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists, 17 of 36 wow. In 53 minutes.
I hate that dude.
That dude needs to rest his legs for a long time.
Brooklyn. Now, I'll be real quick. I know you're up against it. I don't want to hear all week, oh, I hope we get Atlanta. We can beat Atlanta. What has this team showed you in this series? You got two tough series coming up. You got it, either Philly or Atlanta, and then these West teams are good. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks for the call.
You get yourself into trouble when you try and pick your opponent. That's why, you know, these sports leagues in the last few years are kind of tinkering with that idea, maybe a little bit down the line where you could pick your opponent, pick your poison here. Get yourself into trouble when you do that. Let's just see how it plays out. And I think it's a complete reset. This was a grueling series. I think you can say that on both sides. And we'll probably hear a little bit of that out of Coach Bud and Giannis and others, that this took a lot out of them. And yet, do we have a start time on game one of the Eastern Conference Finals?
I don't think so yet, but
they
we can check.
Planned out a little bit.
Well, they don't know where they're playing. So it's either going to be in Philly or in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Those are two different time zones.
Yeah.
So
yep.
From that perspective, I think that probably plays into it a little bit.
So they move on, and we're celebrating that tonight, 799-1250.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls on hold, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. If you were in the Deer District tonight, I really want to hear from you. I think Tim does too, because that looked like a wild, wild scene in the Deer District as the Bucks get the win, 115-111. They advance to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And have a good time. It's time to come together.
Oh, the season rolls on. The Bucks get the victory. It took overtime tonight as the Milwaukee Bucks win it 115-111. And the beat goes on here. Welcome back. A special edition Milwaukee's basketball postgame show. Tim and Sparky tonight as the season does not end. And I know a lot of fans were expecting that, a lot of what I call the doom and gloomers.
That was me.
Yeah, they're never
going
to. Was that you?
I said the Nets were going to win yesterday on the way out. I thought the Nets were going to win, and it almost played out exactly like I said. Rami and I were going back and forth about it yesterday in our crosstalk between Madness and Rami's show, and he's like, why? And I said, because at the end of a game, I'm going to trust Durant and Harden probably more than I'm going to trust Giannis and Middleton. And that was exactly what happened in a close game. It came down to the end, and Durant's toes were on the line, and they go to overtime. And then you go to the overtime, another big situation, and this happens.
45 seconds left in overtime. 10 on the shot clock. Middleton spinning and hits. Big bucket for Chris Middleton. And the Bucks take the lead. 113-111 as the Nets call for time.
So Middleton hits a huge shot, and now guess whose turn it is again? KD, and this happens.
Guarded by Holiday. Durant for three. Comes up with an air ball with 0.3 seconds remaining. And the Milwaukee Bucks with the 113-111 lead.
And they end up winning 115-111. Middleton with a big shot. KD fires up an air ball trying to win it. Instead of just taking the two and going to the rim, he tried to knock him out because I think he was exhausted and wanted to get out of there.
Huge victory might be the understatement, but one of the better victories in the organization's history when you think about it. They were 0 for 8 in game sevens on the road historically in this city for the Milwaukee Bucks organization on the road. 0 for. They finally get it done. And how you feel moving forward here, 799-1250, Milwaukee's basketball post-game show, special edition tonight. I'm getting an update on that Brewer game as you're keeping an eye on that. But you guys down coming out of that district down there on a beautiful night like tonight and the ebb and flow of this game, I was losing my mind during this game. All right, let's go to Kyle. Kyle, you're next on the Fan. What's happening?
What's going on, guys? Can you talk as much about a Bucks win today as you can? It's unbelievable, okay? I thought they lost it. As soon as we went into overtime, I thought they lost it. I thought they were gone. They were done. It's over. And then all of a sudden, they come up. Middleton, unbelievable, okay? This is the world champion Bucks, okay? I am now a believer.
In what? In Middleton, you're saying, or in the Bucks?
The Bucks. I was a disbeliever. I went into Game 7 saying, they probably won't win. They won it. They won it out clean. And they won it against all odds. Plus, I don't think the NBA wanted them to win it. I don't think the NBA wants the Bucks to advance. I do not think that's true. And they did. They still did. I think the Bucks will win the NBA championship now.
They could very well do that, Kyle.
I think that it is actually this was the turning point. This was the turning point. Tonight, the OT. If they would have won it in regular season or in the actual, like, you know, if they would have
regulation,
won it in the fourth
quarter,
it would be something different. But the fact that they came back in OT and won it, I think it's done.
Guys. Kyle, thanks for the call. Yeah, this does give them a little bit of momentum heading into the Eastern Conference Finals. But bigger picture, guys, I think you have to look at this window of time here where it's almost like the basketball gods. Here we go, Stevie. We bring up the baseball gods all the time. It's almost like the basketball gods, you know, were rewarding these guys for being freaking good the last 3 years. And they are a quality team. And we get sort of deluded here in the city with you know, some of the naysayers and some of the doom and gloomers, and you know, they're underachieving. They get, you know, sent home packing by the Heat in the bubble, and they lose a 2-0 lead in the series in the Eastern Conference Finals against Toronto, and it's just not going to be the thing. But when you think about it, they've been one of the, and this is not arguable, one of the best teams in the NBA the last three full seasons. Now, again, you had a shortened season, but the last 3 years, they have been one of the better teams in the NBA. And are we finally starting to see that here? A little luck goes into this. I understand.
Absolutely.
That.
But a luck goes into any championship. Yeah. If it's baseball, if it's football, whatever, you have to get breaks along the way. You just do. And call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Call it the Eastern Conference Finals and a series in which they're going to be favored in. That's what's going to happen. It's simple. So, I mean, I said it in the beginning, I'm going to say it again. They should win the whole damn thing now. I mean, that's all it is. There's no team left that's left playing that's more talented than this team. There's no team.
You're scaring me on that. On a selfish note, so about a month ago, buddy of mine goes to Vegas. I give him a $100 bill.
All right.
And I say, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but just I'll call you or text you or whatever.
Drop it into a slot.
He's staying at Caesars? No, it was going to be a sports future.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, it was going to be. And I was just waffling back and forth. Do I go? Now this again, this was 5 weeks ago, and I was thinking, you know, does LeBron come back and they stay alive? And then I'm thinking, should I just go chalk and go Brooklyn? It looks like they're on the path. Back and forth. Finally, on his last day there, I just texted him and said, just bring it home. Now, the leader in the clubhouse, Stevie, here's where I'm getting to, was the Bucks to win it all. And I don't really care about it at this point.
Right.
I'll take the Bucks championship over, you know, $100 future bet. That would have netted probably, I don't know, 5-1 odds, 4-1 odds at that point. So $400 or $500 ticket coming back. Don't even care about that. We'll just roll with this now. Get a reset. You take a deep breath. You get more Bucks conversation. We're going to be all over it here on The Fan moving forward. Bart on Monday morning is going to lose his mind, so tune in for that. Wendy's Big Show with you and Gary and Leroy, and then Rami in the afternoon.
If he makes it to Monday morning. I have a feeling, based on Twitter, he's celebrating hard right now. Bill in Waukesha, you're next to Milwaukee's Basketball Postgame Show with Tim Allen and me, Steve Sparky Fifer. What's up, Bill? Oh, Bill was there. I don't know how he got knocked off. Let's try it again. All right, Bill, go ahead.
Hey, I wasn't down there, but Waukesha. All the bars in Waukesha, we're all just having a freaking great time.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable game. Everybody's just rocking it out right now. And for some reason, I knew they were going to win. I never gave up hope. Never gave up hope on the whole dang game. And it came true. And yep. It's about time. When back in the 80s when we had three big guys in there, the little short jump shot when we should have made it to the finals, I forgot who was that. Who was that guy?
I don't know who you're talking about. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
No. This was an '80s Bucks player that's short. Okay, Sam, you got a project here. Okay, so thanks for the call, Bill. So you never gave up hope and really thought they were going to win this series. All right, fair enough. That's not where I was. Where I was, let's see. One of your guys there, Gary Ellerson, always says this, and I learned this over the years. There's certain situations where you just say, let's see how it plays out here. Let's not go overboard here, one extreme to the other. I know we're passionate about this stuff, and right. I know, you know, we tend to go a little sideways. I'm guilty of that as well as anybody. But in this series, certainly once it was tied 2-2, that's when I shifted from, hey, let's just see how this shakes out here, because I thought Budenholzer was getting the short end of the stick here. Now, are there flaws? Okay, he went away from all this defensive technique and change that he made throughout the season. He went away from that early in this series. So there's something to be said about that. Despite that, though, I said, let's just see how it plays out. Certainly when we get to Game 7 here. This was just sort of sit back and be a fan and just, you got a chance at this thing. They never, there was one time it was a 9 or 10 point deficit in this game. That was the tipping point. The 6-point deficit at halftime was a little bit of tipping point coming out. What, they go on a, they go on an 8-0 or 6-0 run immediately. It turned out to be by the late second into the early third. That was an 11-0 run combined before and after halftime. That was a huge part of this. And I don't know what was said at halftime there, but you could see a little something different there. Ball movement, I think, could have been a little bit better here, although it wasn't horrible in this one. It was just the shooting early, and I don't know how they weren't down 19 points in this game with that type of shooting early.
Totally agree. A tweet here from Bart Winkler, Bart Winkler Show, weekday morning, 6 to 10. 8 to go, baby. We have so much more to celebrate, but enjoy tonight like it's the last night on Earth. We are breaking curses tonight. Bart Winkler tweeted that. Like I said, I just hope he makes it to Monday. It's Sparky and Tim Allen, Milwaukee's basketball postgame show. The Milwaukee Bucks, they win 115-111 over the Brooklyn Nets. Nate, James, and a cast of thousands all on hold. You can jump aboard as well. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250.
Joe Harris just flips it over to Jeff Green. Now, that does it. The Bucks with the 115-111 victory over the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes, indeed. They get it done tonight, Milwaukee, and we're talking about a Milwaukee's basketball postgame show, special edition, Tim and Sparky, as the Milwaukee Bucks move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they will... Well, they will face, obviously, either Philly or Atlanta. And when was it that you thought that, you know what, they're gonna win this game? I think, you know, I don't know the numbers, and there's probably not a lot of data out here. It's just in reading social media and listening to you guys, Stevie, and on the Wendy's Big Show, Bart and Rami as well. I don't know if there was a ton of folks that thought that they were going to come out alive in this series. And it, despite the injuries, I think it was a lot of times it was, oh, man, see, that just never happens. You know, now they're, I dare I say it, in a little bit of a driver's seat.
Yes.
They're the most talented team alive.
Correct.
And they're the most healthy team alive in the NBA today, folks.
Yeah, no question. Somebody texted me and said that, I wanted to know if I saw the post game. They must have had a mic'd up or something. Sheila from over at Wendy's. She said, did you hear Giannis when he was hugging Portis say, we're going to need you? That's good because he didn't play at all the whole second half of that series. So we'll see if we get Bobby Portis.
What's going
to play
on
somewhat.
With him? Is it just a matchup thing? Is it an injury thing?
No, Bud said a couple games ago it was for spacing issues. But Bobby Portis can shoot the three. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
not to mention the fact that Brooklyn was playing small ball anyhow, so Portis would have worked. But, you know, say what you want outside of that Brook Lopez fiasco in the corner when he didn't know how much time was left on the shot clock, apparently. Outside of that, I mean, he had a huge block there late. He has had impact, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. 799-1250. Let's get some more reaction here. Bucks headed to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll go to Nate. Nate, you're next on The Fan. What's happening?
How we doing, fellas? How we doing?
Doing good.
Great.
Tim, I don't remember if you remember, we had a conversation a couple weeks ago. It was after, it was actually like a week ago, after the Sunday night game with the Bucks, and then the Brewers had won also that day, and I said, we just got to take it one day at a time, and I haven't been calling in the Sports Talk Radio the last week or so because I've been trying to keep that mind state. I haven't been trying to get too overhyped about it, but I haven't been trying to get too low about it. I've been listening, but I haven't been calling in. But and it's just a great feeling at this point. I'm just on a high right now. One thing I do got to say is we definitely got to give Coach Bud some credit today. Coach Bud did a great job managing them fouls because the refs, I don't know what it was, but the refs, it seemed it was very one-sided, and it seemed like they were definitely up against it with foul troubles. Drew had five. P.J. Tucker had five for a lot of the fourth quarter going into that overtime period. And it seemed like a lot of fouls were just coming out of the blue.
Well, so Nate, it's just like game five. Game five, you had Brooke, Giannis, and I believe Holiday, all with two fouls in the first quarter. I mean, I don't know how you can – early on in this one, and I'll let you respond. Early on in this one, I was fuming at these calls. You get Harden that just throws his legs out there. You get KD, you breathe on him. Giannis, they're pounding. And I know that's been historically sort of the thing with Giannis. He plays a little bit more physical, and there's a little bumper car action going on. But, my goodness, it just the hypocrisy between the two sides of play. You look at, as I said, Harden and KD's play and the fouls against. You look at Giannis and his play and the fouls against. It's just not right. Guys, it's not right.
Yeah, and Harden had most of his points off of free throws.
Yep.
And that's ridiculous for somebody who has no type of burst with his legs. For him to be able to be – for you to say – For the refs to have an excuse saying he's beating somebody off the dribble that bad to where they have to foul him or put him in the contact when all they have to do is literally stand in front of him and he has no burst to get past him is ridiculous. But yeah, we definitely need to give Coach Bud some credit. If nobody else will, I will.
There you go.
He did one hell of a job tonight.
All right, Nate. Yep. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point. And I'm not saying that the criticism for Budenholzer was unfair by any stretch. I'm not saying that, but I agree with Nate that you do have to give credit. It's a lot like, we're so quick to blame a baseball manager for the wrong bullpen move, but we never really give him credit when, boy, you know what? That flew under the radar. That dude pitched 2 1/3 of score. I think we do have to, for now, we do have to take a little different view of Budenholzer. Just for now, that may change down the line, but let's give credit where credit is due. This team has been one of the best basketball teams in the business here the last 3 years. They're now into the Eastern Conference Finals. That's two of the last three seasons. It's time to give them a little bit of credit. And you can call it a stay of execution if you will and if you want. But I'm with some credit tonight.
All right, let's go to James Southside. You're next in Milwaukee's basketball postgame show with the franchise, Tim Allen, and me, Steve Sparky Fiverr. Sam Schmitz producing the show tonight.
Guys, I had all my content lined up until this last call. Budenholzer, this game was over early with some very basic fundamental basketball plays. That last play of regulation, Giannis should have been on Durant. Everybody knew Durant was getting the ball. Everybody knew the shot was coming over the top. And everybody knew that Durant could shoot over Tucker. Why was not Durant matched up with in length, speed, and athleticism? Giannis should have been on Durant. The game was over early. Budenholzer does not deserve any credit.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Well, they
this
did
game
get
was
the
over
victory
early. This game
well, they
was
did,
over early, though.
They, and I agree with you on Giannis on KD. Stevie, I told you that I'd just put Giannis on KD and go mano
or double KD. That's been suggested for days.
And then give him some help. Give him a little help on top of it.
Here's the other point. Okay, look, Holiday is an expensive investment that we had on this team. He's a great addition. It's good. Holiday's good. He's struggling. But when the dude can't put the ball in the rim, you have to get him out of the game. There were so many moments when there was a transition of your first-string players to your second-string players. A guy like Forbes could have came in, spread the floor, and made things easier for the whole squad.
I'm not relying on Bryn Forbes to move on in Game 7 of this series.
His are way better.
No.
How can you deny what Holiday has put on the floor for 8 games in a row?
James, listen,
away from that.
James, thanks for the call. Listen, I don't disagree with you that he has not been good offensively. He was like 1-for-10 from 3-in-1 game. So, look, I agree with you. He's not good offensively. Bryn Forbes is streaky as streaky can be. Can be just as hot as just as cold in a game-to-game situation. But what Holiday provides you that Forbes does not is defense. And that's what they decided that they were going to go with. They were going to go with the best defenders on the floor more times than not. That's why I think part of the reason was that Lopez was out there for his shot-blocking ability and to try and be somewhat of a rim protector for
came
this Bucks basketball
block
time.
Late of KD.
Right.
Came up with a huge block.
Correct.
Brooke did.
No question. A huge block at the end and a big play there at the end as well, like you were just talking about. All right, let's go to another call. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. You're next on Milwaukee's basketball postgame show on 1250 AM The Fan.
Hey, Sparky. You know, Lopez has got to be the MVP of this game. That block shot at the end of the game, or not near the end of the game, was just incredible. That saved the game. You know, and to blame him for the inbounds play at the end of the game, we're not getting a shot up, I think that's a false narrative. I really do. He throws an air ball up. They get the ball. They can go up the court and get a layup. You know, I really think that Lopez is the MVP of the game. What did he have, 17 points in that game?
Yeah, Brooke Lopez on the night ended up 7 of 11 in 46 minutes, 3 of 4 from 3, 2 of 2 at the line, 19 points, 8 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 block shots.
You know, that defensive play, that block shot on Durant at the end of the game.
Huge.
That was just absolutely incredible. That was a game saver. The Bucks didn't get possession right away, but eventually they did on that trip down the court. But they came back and they scored. And that was the turning point in the game, without a doubt in my mind. That was an incredible play. You know, and the defense forced Durant to go to the basket, and there was Lopez. And he's always been there throughout the season, and he made the play, without a doubt. You know, I know that inbounds play at the end of the game, they missed Giannis, you know, he probably could have made a play there, but you know, if Lopez throws an air ball up, Nets get a rebound, they go up the court, get a layup, that's a different game.
That's a good point. But you could just tell by his reaction he didn't know what the heck was going on. You could just tell.
He had no idea what was going on. He plays a little out
Thanks
of control
for the call.
At times. I think he gets a little too out of control at times, but they should have gotten a shot off. There just should have been a better design play there to get a better shot. That was your game. I mean, that you put a bucket in there with just over 7 seconds left. You got a little over 2 on the shot clock, and you're up 2. I mean, that was you put in a bucket right there. If it's a better designed play, credit the Nets, I guess, for, you know, disrupting things a little bit. Let me just say, go back to the Bryn Forbes thing. Here's my philosophy on that. And I understand that it's a little bit of a roll of the dice. He is streaky. You're right. But they lose by going to Bryn Forbes. He comes in here and in the second half goes 1-for-9 or something. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. They stuck with Holiday. They stuck with, let's not forget the 2 buckets he did make in an absolute critical moment of this game in the fourth quarter. Okay, I'm not saying it salvaged his entire game or his entire postseason. This is why I'm a little curious. The sample size was low. When they acquired Holiday, his postseason numbers were really good. Now, again, the sample size is a little small, but this is sort of why they brought him in here to 2 reasons. One would be those types of statistics, moving forward. But the other is to at least get this quasi-Big 3 going. Now, does it pale in comparison to some of the other Big 3s around the NBA? Of course, you know, by name and by results. But it at least put him on the map here. They've got Middleton, obviously Giannis, and then you tuck in Holiday in there. He did make 2 huge shots there at the end there. But I agree in this regard. This should have been on Holiday himself. If you're not feeling it, dude, you gotta lay back a little bit offensively. Play your defense, and it's really good, obviously. But occasionally, you know, a player like that, if he's really struggling, you got to take that upon yourself to get to dish a little bit more and get a bit better chance, at least, to make a bucket.
No question. Got some more people on hold. John in Waukesha, Aaron in Freedom. Still room for you if you want to jump aboard Milwaukee's Basketball Postgame Show Special Edition. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer here. Bucks get the win 115-111 over the Brooklyn Nets. Giannis with 40 points, 13 boards, 5 assists in the game. 23 for Chris Middleton, including some big shots on 9 of 28 shooting. The only player to score off the bench for the Bucks was Pat Connaughton, who had three, I guess you could say, big threes, because they all came at pretty opportune times where they needed to stop net runs.
So
big.
Who was the MVP then? I mean, who was the MVP of this game?
I mean, do you look at
Middleton for recovering? Do you look at Brooke Lopez for filling out the checking a bunch of boxes?
Yeah. I can't give it to Brooke. I'm sorry. I mean, that fiasco at the end. To me, it's Middleton hitting big shots at the end. Now, obviously, they're not in that position at the end without Giannis. And he had a huge baby hook shot there at the end that he kind of threw into. I don't know. I guess I would kind of lean Middleton, but I understand if you're going to give it to the guy that got 40 and 13 and 5. Like, it's hard to argue not giving it to him, but as far as big plays down the stretch, I mean, a lot of that was Middleton. And then, of course, Brooke Lopez, including the fiasco at the end in the corner, that if they would have lost that game, oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, man, that's what I was focused on.
No question. Yeah, Sparky, Tim Allen, back with more of your calls after this. 115-111, Bucks heading to the Eastern Conference Finals. Those start on Wednesday.
Out of 2 minutes and 45 seconds, as Giannis goes to the rim and draws the foul.
Wow, that was impressive right there, Marv. Just a little bit of a little screen right there. Beautiful pocket pass, getting Giannis on the move. Durant just a little late coming over to contest, and Giannis just elongates, uses that length. Able to get to the rim, three-point play opportunity. You talk about stepping up. The Stars are doing just that.
Indeed, they were tonight as the Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets here in Game 7 to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Welcome back. It is Milwaukee's Basketball Postgame Show Special Edition tonight. Tim and Sparky, and a Bucks overtime victory. You know, there's something to be said about Game 7s in the world of sports, elimination games. You know, obviously, football is a one game elimination in the postseason, but you get to hockey, you get to baseball, you get to basketball. There's just this allure of a game seven, and then you press it a little bit, and it's into overtime, and it is every possession. It's every single possession. I sat and took notes this entire game, and I'm going to go back and relive this thing. I want to hear. We'll get you a couple of comments from Coach Bud coming up in just a little bit. Also, Giannis as well. But the Bucks do move on, and we're celebrating that as they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. 414-799-1250.
All right, let's go to John in Waukesha. You're next. Milwaukee's Basketball Postgame Show with Tim and Sparky.
Hey, guys, wow, what a great win for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Huge.
I mean, this was great. I mean, it was an emotional roller coaster of a game. And I was watching this at a sports bar in Waukesha, and everybody was into it the whole time. And I just felt that even with a four-point lead with 47 seconds, I didn't feel quite comfortable for some reason. But I felt as long as we got into overtime, I thought, well, at least we have a chance to still win this game. And that was great. I mean, sometimes you got to get lucky. And with Durant having his foot on the three-point line, so it was a two-point instead of a three, that was awesome. I just felt like, you know, sometimes you got to have luck on your side. And so I thank God for that. But, yeah, Middleton, I always felt that he could carry us through in the second half. I was telling my coworkers via text that, you know, we got to have Middleton has to get hot, which he did. And he can take over games. And it was great to see Giannis go to the basket with authority, because I think we do very well when he does that. And then also, you know, Holiday, I have to admit, you know, he was frustrating me throughout the game. But he finally came through at the end, and he made those key shots that we needed to get us over the hump. So that was fantastic. So very one of the most exciting wins in Bucks history, I think. It felt like we won the championship.
And it felt like a boxing match is what it felt like. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm exhausted from just watching that game, Tim.
You know, there are going to be, J.R. Ratcliffe, Journal Sentinel, is pretty good about going back historically and in some of these types of situations. And he will probably rank some of the biggest victories in Bucks history. Obviously, I mean, the NBA title is notwithstanding, but this is, John, you're right. This is one of the biggest wins in the franchise's history when you think about it. When you think about the landscape here of, well, wow, now let's compare who's alive. The rest of the teams, not only in the East, but look over in the West. Who's alive? How do they match up? How's the landscape here? It's huge. Okay, the other thing is, we talk about Middleton stepping up, turning that game around or his game around in the second half. Okay, fair enough, and we credit that. Brooke Lopez, a nice stat line. But I think when you're shooting 38%, whereas your opponent's going 50%, and you're still in this basketball game, I think you have to lean in that concept or theory over to Giannis for keeping this thing together. Because when Holiday and Middleton couldn't hit the backboard. In fact, they were hitting the backboard.
Yes,
sometimes
they were.
The side of the backboard.
Correct, yes.
But it's Giannis that sort of kept him in there. At halftime, I still felt okay. They should have been down by 16,
no
not
question.
Just six at half.
Yep, absolutely right. No question about that. Let's get back to some more calls here. Let's go to Aaron in Freedom. You're next here on 1250 AM The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So I would say going into the series, I was nervous. But once game three came around and the fans, it was off the walls, game three and game four in the Pfizer Forum, that's when I knew that we were going to win the series.
Well, the missed shot by Durant in game three. Clearly, well, that was the game three, right? That was the 86-83.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was there at that game.
That was the tipping
was
point. Yeah. That was huge. And all of a sudden, we have the same type of situation, only this time he cans it to tie the game. He could have done the same thing in game three, and who knows where we're at.
Correct.
If that shot goes down.
One more question is, going into the next series, how do we play better on the road?
I don't have an answer for you, but this is what I'll say. This experience here of winning this game seven should do more for their mental psyche than anything that could have happened in the regular season. All this crap about, well, losing in the regular season will help them better in the postseason. Well, maybe losing in the regular season more this year helped them in this seven-game series. I don't know. But the one thing that seemingly consistently happened was panic set in. They went to isolation basketball and couldn't finish. And in the first half of this game, like I said, they looked scared to death, hitting the side of backboards, turning it over. It was awful in the first half. But as Tim pointed out, they were still in it. To win this game seven the way they did, I don't think you'll see a panic Bucks team anymore on the road the rest of the playoffs.
Even
I really
if
don't.
They're down.
Even if they're down. I just don't think you'll see them rattled again. Maybe I'll be wrong. Thanks for the call. Maybe I'll be wrong, Tim. But I just think this game seven, again, kind of propels them to win this whole thing.
And this is a little bit of a payoff of the experience that they've gone through here the last couple of years. They were in a driver's seat against Toronto. You would assume that they, you know, the bubble series, second round against the Miami Heat, that, man, what a disappointment there. But all that experience. And then this, a game seven on the road. They say, you know, an NBA series, a seven-gamer, you know, the series doesn't really get going until a road team wins.
Correct.
Well, it not only got going, but it ended once the first game was won by the road team, and that was tonight in OT.
Yeah, no question about that. Let's go to Mike in River Falls. You're next on Milwaukee's basketball postgame show here on The Fan. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, man, still all coming off that high. What a game. What a series. Hats off to the Nets, Kevin Durant. Just an absolute stone cold killer. And fellas, I don't know, when I was watching the game here with the guys, we were so deflated when he hit that 3-point shot. shot. We thought it was going to be a three, and the Bucks were going to lose in heartbreak fashion. Thankfully, it was a two, and I'm thinking, okay, overtime, it looks like Durant is stuck on automatic, and he's going to take over this overtime and win this game. Boy, was I glad I was wrong, and thankfully I was wrong. Giannis, Middleton was clutched down the stretch. Holiday, so many guys showing so many stretch when it looked like the Nets could take over and put this game away in overtime. It just, they kept messing shots. They were hitting there down the stretches of the latter half of the second half, and the Bucks were able to somehow convert when they went scoreless for that whole stretch, and I'm thinking, okay, they got this now. And Middleton hit that little hopper there in the lane, and I'm thinking, okay, I think they're going to win this game. So it's just, I thought this would be the biggest roadblock for the Bucks, and I didn't know how it would play out. I thought the Nets would probably win it at home in Game 7, and the Nets and the Bucks went blow for blow with them. And, fellas, now I'm looking at this path now that we got this monster roadblock out of the way. I think the Bucks are in favorite position to win the title. Philly or Atlanta doesn't scare me. I mean, they don't trust Ben Simmons to have the damn ball. Atlanta's a young team. Trey Young's a baller. But the two teams in the West, Suns are great, and Clippers are without Kawhi. So, fellas, I'm looking at the Bucks' position. This they should be the favorite to win the title at this point, because the Nets, I thought, were the favorites. And after that, I thought the Bucks are lined up position. What are your thoughts on that? Hell of a win. Great game. Tip of the cap to the Nets, and I'm glad that the Bucks are dancing, man. What a great time to be a Bucks fan, fellas. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the bigger wins in franchise history. It is. When you look at what they were up against here with the Nets. Now, again, a little bit of a luck factor involved here. You have to think about this. A half of Harden and no Kyrie. And so, you know,
I don't want to hear about it. I don't.
It takes a lot to win an NBA title, but it takes a little bit of that also.
Absolutely. And that team.
And Sam is here. Sam Schmidt's producing the show tonight. There's probably someone out there that has the latest odds out there. We ought to get our boy Horvat on the air here to see what the.
Yeah, he's in D.C.
What the odds are here. But, you know, driver's seat. I'd like to think.
I already get somebody text me, Tim, and say, "Well, Butt is Butt unfireable now?" No. If they lose the next series, he's going to get fired. He's not going to be here if they don't get to the finals, because now all the pressure's on Butt. Now they look at this next series, and like I've been telling you, they're going to be the favorite to win it. Whether it's Philly, and if they have home court against Atlanta, then they're going to be a huge favorite to win it, to beat Atlanta. If they stumble and fall apart and lose for some reason, it's going to be Bud's butt, I can promise you. But let's get away from that for a second. I'm not sure how I missed this, but now I'm seeing it on Twitter, Tim. And I don't want to play the video till I hear it in a break to make sure he didn't swear or anything. But I'm seeing a topless Bart Winkler walking around his yard with a video camera in front of him. And then later down on the comments... somebody asked, is your wife home? And he responded with, she will not like this. So I'm not really sure what the heck is going on here with Bart topless in his yard an hour ago.
But in the
break, I will listen to it. And if it's safe to play on the air, we will play it for you at some point here. Bucks over the Nets, 115-111. Eastern Conference Finals start on Wednesday. Let's go to Jim in Chicago. You're next on 1250 AM, The Fan with Tim and Sparky.
Hey, great win. Great win for the Bucks. You know, all of those who are talking about, well, you know, they didn't do this or that, you know, at this point it doesn't matter because they won.
Correct.
They won this. They won the series. No one believed they could do it. And, you know, there's a lot of people around the country that don't live in Brooklyn who are really excited for the Milwaukee Bucks right now, because I think the Brooklyn Nets have become that kind of the villain status team. So it's exciting to have that and to have our team be the one that has done that. You know, I just can't even express how excited I am. This is probably one of the biggest wins in the last 30 or 40 years for the Bucks. And I look at the teams that are left, and I don't see any reason why we can't be the best team that's left standing out there right now.
They may be hoisting a trophy here. It's going to be fun here, the next series, Eastern Conference Finals again. And then you get the NBA Finals. It's all looking good, Jim. It is. But this, let's relish in this victory here tonight, as it clearly, when it's the Brooklyn Nets, they were put together to win this game. They were put together to win this series. They were put together to win the next series and the one after that. And the Bucks were their roadblock, regardless of injuries. It doesn't really matter. That plays into this a little bit. But, hey, they were put together. They failed on this one. And the Bucks excelled in this one.
Willy Adamas, a two-run jack in the top of the ninth for the Brewers to give them the lead 6-5.
Oh, there you go, Willy, with another four-hit game.
Dude,
there you go, Willy.
Willy Adamas has three doubles and a two-run homer for the Brewers.
Don't you move him from that two hole. Greg Counsell, I'll wring your neck. You leave him at two. I don't care how Vogelbach is doing. He's your two-hitter, Adamas.
I saw a tweet from Kurt Hoag from the Journal Sentinel, who just tweeted out 28 seconds ago, Willy Adamas didn't want to ruin the Milwaukee vibes tonight. So I was like, huh? So I look over at the box score. Sure enough, Brewers up 6-5 after a two-run jack from Willy Adamas.
Oh, baby. Is Hader available and ready to go? I would think so.
Let's see. So far, Hauser, Suter, and Richards have pitched. Counsell said Hader would be available today because we don't pitch him two innings anymore. So, I would imagine he'll be good to go tonight. Get one more call in here. John River West, you're next with Tim and Sparky on 1250 AM The Fan.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Sparky. I already called my dad. I said, Happy Father's Day, Dad. You and me are going to the NBA Finals. We've had a pact for 20 years that we'd go to a Wisconsin team finals game. Brewers got close in 11 and 18, the Bucks in 2019, obviously. But this year, the Bucks, it's time. Let's get this.
Well, I hope you get that opportunity. Yeah, we all hope you get that opportunity.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's all he had?
All right. That's all? All right, John. Are we going to get some comments from Coach Bud here?
We have him, yeah. Sam's got it all lined up here. We got Giannis, the whole deal. So, yeah, we'll do that coming up next. Bucks, they get the win tonight, headed to the Eastern Conference Finals, 115-111. Now Bucks fans have a reason to watch Atlanta Philly tomorrow because now you're going to see who you play. So if Atlanta wins, you're at home at Fiserv Forum Wednesday night. Philly wins, you're on the road in Philly against Doc Rivers and the Sixers. And I got to tell you, of all the teams in the NBA, the one dude that might be at the top of my list that I cannot stand the most is Joel Embiid. So there's a part of me that wants the Bucks to beat Joel Embiid. There is. There's a part of me that wants to beat Joel Embiid. There's another part of me that wants to face the Hawks so we can have home court advantage. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, neither team.
Well, I want to see someone else miss free throws at the rate that Giannis does. Maybe even worse in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Is it Simmons that just cannot shoot a free throw?
Horrible. Just horrible.
So keep that in mind if that's their opponent moving forward. Speaking of which, did you guys notice that Giannis, I am shocked here that they didn't call a delay on Giannis at the charity stripe. How much time? I got to be fair here. I thought it was a crazy call earlier in this series that they did it late in the game. You do it early in the game, I don't have a problem with it. But the crowd was all over Giannis. Man.
I'll just say this. We got to get to a break. But I'll just say this. They interviewed Steve Javy, a former NBA ref, probably the one ref I hated the most as a Bucks fan throughout his time in the NBA. And Javy said that he would not even consider blowing a whistle until, in his head, he had counted to 13, 12 or 13. At that point, then he would consider it.
Cushion it.
Right. But the other part of this is, and I don't know this one way or the other, you just wonder if the NBA said, listen, he's a multiple MVP. We're not blowing the whistle on him taking forever to shoot free throws, guys. We're just not doing it. So not in this situation, not in a game seven. That's not going to decide this game. So he's going to do whatever he does and just let it play out. That's not going to decide the game. You just wonder if the NBA didn't step into the referees and say, listen, we're not blowing whistles on Giannis for this. We're just not. All right, so the Bucks get the win. If you're on hold, we'll get you coming up. Plus, we're going to hear from Giannis and Coach Budenholzer all straight ahead. Bucks headed to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Seconds left in overtime. 10 on the shot clock. Middleton spinning and hits. Big bucket for Chris Middleton. And the Bucks take the lead. 113-111 as the Nets call for time.
That turned out to be the game winner right there. 113-110 lead, or 111 lead. They go on for a 115-111 victory. Welcome back in that highlight from TNT, Milwaukee's basketball postgame show. Special edition tonight, Tim and Sparky celebrating a Game 7 victory. Bucks beat the mighty Brooklyn Nets. Now, all that have said that, yeah, that little small market thing, that little non-big three team, well, turn the page on that because the Brewers are headed to the Eastern Conference Finals. And just a little cherry on top here, the Brewers are leading now in that game in Colorado. We'll keep you posted. Where are we going?
Let's
here?
Go to Billy and Brown Deer. You're next, yeah, with Tim and Sparky. What's up?
I can't think of two better people to talk to than Tim and Sparky right now tonight. How you doing, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
What's going on? It's more important how you are.
I'm telling you right now. I'm very excited because right now, it's been a long time. I remember talking to you guys when it was Bucks versus Chicago. I remember talking to you, Sparky, when we was at State Fair and it was Chris Middleton. And Brandon Jennings just got traded to the team. And you was at State Fair interviewing these cats at 4 o'clock.
Yep, that's right.
You understand? You understand? It's been a long time, bro. And I remember it was 2-0-2. The Bucks were down. And everybody said it's over. I remember when it was 3-2, the Bucks were down. Everybody said it's over. It's Game 7 and we won. I just want to let that resonate. Let that vibrate through the energy right now. The team that everybody thought could not make it. With players who nobody even knew when they came. Could you imagine the many people who walked past Chris Middleton in a white polo and black dress pants at State Fair when he got here? And right now, we're looking at perhaps one of the, I don't want to be cocky, but easier, not easy, but easier Eastern Conference Finals than playing against LeBron or the Raptors. And then perhaps we play against the Suns. I'm excited right now for what we did, no matter what happens next. I want to say thank you. Tim, I listen to you. Tim, you a veteran. Spark, you a veteran. You guys keep it 100% real. We had Monte, Brandon. You didn't sugarcoat anything. You kept it 100% real. It was an option we could win this thing. An option, a small option, and it happened. I saw that happen. The Bucks did it tonight, guys.
Yeah, they
we
did.
We do it all the time. We did it tonight, guys. On Father's Day, awesome. Eve, we did it tonight, guys.
Happy come Father's on, Day to everybody on, that's yes. a father, Billy. Thanks for
bring
the call.
Home tonight, baby.
Yeah.
We did it tonight, guys.
There you go, Billy. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You have to let that resonate. You just do, and this is a part of the, again, those tough losses is what makes this all the sweeter. It is, and I love that word resonate as the Bucks take Game 7 over the Brooklyn Nets. Just – again, Billy, I'm with you. Resonation.
Again, a 15-win season not so long ago. Hunter in the Deer District, or was that the Deer District? You're next on the Fan. What's up, Hunter?
Hey there, Sparky and Tim. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was at the Deer District tonight for the game, and it was just the energy was absolutely unreal. And just the amount of joy, especially after going through the last year and a half that we have, to be able to experience that with so many other fans, and then after the game, people honking their horns. You can hear my voice is even a little hoarse from screaming. But you know, towards the end of that game, there was, you know, constantly fans just saying, can we just have one? As Wisconsin sports fans, there's just been so much, so close, but not quite getting it. And finally tonight, we're able to get that big victory. And so it was just a huge sigh of relief. And the eruption from the crowd, I'll never forget it, honestly, when Durant missed that last shot. So it was unreal tonight.
I can imagine it was. Man. We were watching it on TV, jealous that we weren't there and we were here.
Yeah.
But still, couldn't pass up doing a post-game show tonight for sure. Hunter, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. All right, so Bucks get the win. Brewers are up 6-5 with a runner on first and one out in Colorado in the ninth. But let's hear from Giannis. After Giannis has a big game for the Milwaukee Bucks in this win and get him to the Eastern Conference Finals, 40 points, 13 boards, 5 assists on 15 of 24 shooting, 8 of 14 at the line, 2 of 6 from 3. Giannis talks after the game.
Like hook shot you had on Durant with about a minute left in overtime.
Was able to get in my spot. I love the hook shot. And I was able to get to a spot and just get a hook.
For you in this game, obviously, you have a huge minutes load. You get to do a little bit of everything. Out of halftime, you guys switched the defensive matchups so that you could kind of be the guy that gets a switch onto Harden, gets a switch on Durant, and kind of do that. Just what did you think of that adjustment, and what did you think of the opportunity to get to do that?
Great adjustment. We realized that I was always away from the ball on the Reds and the switches. So I think great adjustment by coach. Out of the halftime, told me to switch the matchup. So I give the guy that switch on KD, James, and whoever has the ball. As I said, last game, we just wanted to make them play one-on-one basketball, try to keep them in front, try to make them hit tough shots. And if they make a shot, do not get discouraged. Keep guarding them. Keep making it tough for them. And I think coming out of the second half, we were able to keep them in front. They wasn't having a lot of feel-good plays, you know, that everybody touches the ball. When the ball moves, when you you switch and you hit the guy in the pocket, and the guy from the pocket hit the guy in the corner, and the guy from the corner hit the guy in the wing, and the guy driving it. They didn't have plays like that. So we were doing our job. We were allowing them to play, like, deep into the clock. That we wanted them to take tough shots with like 4 seconds left, 5 seconds left, 3 seconds left, 6 seconds left. So it was great adjustment by coach.
I'm curious, what did it feel like for you to write 8 on the board tonight? Just being able to beat this Nets team in advance of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Man, it's a great feeling. You know, and at the end of the day, I try not to, you know, get too high, not to get too low. But I almost got emotional a little bit out there, you know, because, like, the team really, really tried their best, you know. And we kept our composure. We were down to zero. You know, a lot of people didn't believe that we could make it. We went back home and we protect, you know, home with our unbelievable fans, you know. And just being able to come to New York, and we've already come here 5 times in the last 5 games. We were 0-5, so just coming to New York again, game 7, you know, and everybody's anxious, everybody's nervous, you know, and be able to execute, believe in one another, trust one another, it was big time. And I'm really happy for this team. I'm really happy for what we got done. Really happy that we were able to write 8 on the board, but the job is not done. We got to keep believing in ourselves. We got to keep playing good basketball take it game by game. The job is not done. We halfway through. Yeah, that's it.
What do you think of Drew being able to step up in that big spot? I know he struggled with his shot in the first 3 quarters, 4 quarters, and then late in the game, he just took big shots.
That's what he does. That's what it does, and, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you knock down shots, don't make shots, miss shots, it doesn't really matter. You know, at the end of the day, if you can keep your composure and, you know, stay within the game and keep making the right play, eventually it's going to fall. Eventually you're going to make the right pass, you're going to take the right shots, you're going to make some shots, and that's what I think what he did, and he was able to give us a big boost at the end.
Jim Mozarski.
Along those lines, Giannis, is that the an illustration, I guess, of what you meant the other night when you said we're built for this? The way I think Drew 3 of 5 in the fourth, Chris 4 of 7. You know, their nights were they struggled till then. Chris hits the game winner. Their defensive stops late. Brooke even the block after, you know, what happened at the other regulation. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about there when you say you're built for it? Just sort of that. Not the physical ability, but sort of that mental toughness, too.
Yeah. When did I say that? I said that
after
in the media?
After game 6, yes.
I said in the media, so I can take it back. Okay. What I meant by that is that we've all worked extremely hard to be in this moment. You know, and I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about life. You know, and just being able to be in a position on the road game 7, like you watch this growing up on TV and see like the all-time greats going head-to-head in game 7 and, you know, getting big wins, so no matter what, you know, you lose the game. But at the end of the day, we worked extremely hard our whole life for this moment, right? So I wanted everybody to live up this moment, to feel this moment, to cherish this moment, you know, because we are built for this. That's why we are here. You know, no matter the pressure, no matter what's going on, we are built for this, right? So we believe in who we are. No matter what happens, win or lose, we're going to stay together. And we're just going to go out there and compete.
Yeah, there he is, Giannis, after the Bucks overtime victory here in Game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets. And they're built for this, and I agree with him on the Game 7. We started out the show. Game 7s are just, man, there's something about them. It's every possession. It's every pitch. It's everything. It's elimination. I don't know if it's bigger than life. But it's about as big as you can get in the world of sports, that's for sure.
No doubt about that. But, you know, again, in life, hey, man, if you look at, you know, life being complete with a ring, then I say it's the biggest thing in life. Yeah, Bucks get the win 115-111. We'll hear from Mike Budenholzer coming up next here on Milwaukee's Basketball Postgame Show with Tim Allen and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
But Giannis knocks down both of them.
And Giannis seems to shoot better when the crowd is yelling there. But since that air ball, he's been effective knocking down his free throws.
Yeah, there it is on TNT. You hear the chants and the numbers and the dribble. It almost sounds like a New Year's Eve countdown in reverse right there.
Yeah.
Bucks get a victory tonight. Relish in this one. As one of our callers said, let that resonate. Bucks beat the Nets in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semis, and they're headed back to the Eastern Conference Finals again for the second time in the last 3 years with an overtime victory tonight, and I think everybody's enjoying that. By the way, it is a final in Colorado, and the Brewers do snap their 5-game losing streak. They get a victory over the Rockies, and we'll be talking a lot of Brewers baseball tomorrow after the last pitch as you make the switch. But a lot has been talked about with regards to Coach Bud and his future. Can we call a timeout on that? Can we reconvene the conversation at least after this plays out?
No. Well, I mean, I'm not changing what I've said, and because I believe it that I'm going to be right on this. If they lose this next series, he's done. And now, I mean, there's even more pressure now than there was before because now you took out, you know, the team that everybody thought was going to win this thing. So they're gone. You are now, again, the favorite to win this thing. So you better go win it now. I mean, I just think if you're Lazary and Edens and those guys, if you lose in Eastern Conference Finals and have home court against the Hawks, you're going to be in trouble. If you lose Eastern Conference Finals against Philly, even though they're the one seed, I don't think the Bucks owners are going to look at it as, oh, well, you should have lost that because they're the one seed. I don't think they're going to look at it that way. Now, if they lose in the finals, okay, fine. Then, yeah, he's good.
That's what comes, I was going to say.
He comes
look
back.
At the other side. What
Realist,
if their success here,
right.
Not only winning, getting to the NBA Finals or winning it, then does that change the narrative on Coach Bud?
Well, I mean, we'll see. Nobody knows what the heck Mark Lazary is going to do. Let's be honest. We have no clue of how he's going to go about this because, again, he's the emotional fan dude for the most part. That's kind of who he is. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well,
but
we know one thing. If they win the NBA Finals, Coach Bud is not getting fired.
Oh, no. I think if they make the NBA Finals, I don't think Coach Bud is getting fired. No.
Fair enough. He's got to be pretty pleased after this victory. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach.
So much respect for the Brooklyn Nets, their players, you know, all of them, from the top of the roster to the bottom, Coach Steve Nash, his staff, Sean Marks, the GM, a lot of great people, a lot of respect for them, hell of a series. So, first question.
For you guys, just late in the game, obviously, I mean, I think everyone hits a big shot. Giannis hits a post-up, you get a hook shot, Chris hits a big one, Drew hits a bunch of big ones late. Just what do you see from those three to be able to get to their spots, have the confidence, even though they might have struggled either from the free throw line or from the field earlier on in the game?
Yeah, those guys, they just, you know, they're great competitors. You know, I love the way they just keep coming, keep playing, find a way to win an overtime game on the road, game seven. They all made big plays down the stretch, and we need them, every one of them.
For you, when you think of this game, I'm going to think of Brook Lopez at center court just losing his mind after you guys seal this thing. I'm curious for you, Brook has that big block down on the other end. Just what did you think of his ability to affect the game?
I thought he was great. You know, I felt like he shot the ball well. He did a lot of things for us. You know, three threes, everyone big, you know, a couple finishes around the basket, screens. He just did a little bit of everything. You know, he's a big part of who we are. The guys trust him. They know he's there. He's incredible protecting the paint and taking all that away. You got to live away from the basket. You know, lots of games while Brook is playing.
Can you take me through Durant's final two shots? I guess his final shot at the end of regulation and then his final shot at the end of overtime. Both times one-on-one coverage, one time PJ, one time Drew.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought, you know, really, really good individual defense both times. You know, he's an incredible shot maker. You know, and for us, you know, just good to get that last stop, get that last miss. You know, and win the game basically on a defensive stop.
For you, are you? Was that Brooks mix-up on the shot clock?
No, that's me. I gotta help him better. I gotta do better. You know, so you know, I think fortunate to come out and get the win. But in some ways, I think, you know, all of us were more motivated to make sure we got it. But that's on me.
Yeah, okay, so he held himself accountable for the 2.1 left on the shot clock there at the end, and I thought that was game there. I will say this, I did not feel good when they're up two, and you make one basket, you're going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and you don't even get a shot off.
Horrible.
And that was disturbing right there.
Yeah, no question. And I don't know if he didn't know what the shot clock was or what the deal was, because he threw the ball to Middleton and he was getting, you know, again, aggressively defended as expected in that corner. Giannis was fighting to get to the rim with no luck whatsoever. You could have argued they should have called a foul at that point, but they didn't. Yeah, and again, you know, sometimes you have to get lucky, and they got through it. Thank God.
They did. They're back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and a lot more conversations regarding our Milwaukee Bucks starting Monday morning. Bart Winkler and Wendy's Big Show, 10 to 2, and Rami Makhlouf's probably celebrating right now. I'll tell you what, both him and I earlier this season both adopted this basketball team, and it's been an entertaining run thus far, and it moves on. The beat goes on here for the Bucks 2021 championship season. Coach Bud, we can talk about that. Giannis, the performance defensively down the stretch. All that and more, yep, starting
Rami,
on Monday.
Yep, Rami was at the Deer District.
Okay,
I'm seeing video from 4 hours ago. So, yeah, he was there.
Eyewitness account then on Monday afternoon at 3. You guys have a great night. This has been a special presentation of Milwaukee's basketball postgame show. There's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Thank you to Sam Schmitz. My name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. See you tomorrow after the Brewers game.
Joe Harris just flips it over to Jeffrey. Now that does it. The Bucks, with the 115-111 victory over the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.